Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. Today we have an email from MZ. Hello, Ben and Nathan. I plan to apply to law school in September of 2023 so I can attend during fall of 2024. The reason why I'm applying next year is because I'm leaving to serve in the Peace Corps as an English teacher on the Colombian Caribbean coast within the next few months, sometime between April and June. Peace Corps is a 27-month commitment, so I would be returning to the United States during the summer of 2024. What could I do now in order to have the strongest application I could possibly have? Okay, we get this question or a variant of this question a lot. It's really about your LSAT score.
Yeah, your GPA, but the ship has probably already sailed on that. Yeah. And your LSAT, those two primary determinants. I mean, they do index calculations. Those index formulas just came out, apparently, from LSAC. And it's like they take your LSAT times a constant plus your GPA times some constant that varies from school to school because they weight the two things differently. But they basically add those up into one number, and then they sort their applicants by that number. And that's the applications that they look at first. And, you know, most schools are going to get like a 1,000 applications for a class of 400 and, or 4,000 applications for a class of 400 or 4,000 applications for a class of 150. Yeah. And so they are highly interested in your LSAT and your GPA, but the LSAT is the one thing that you can like do actual work every day.
Yep. It's the thing you can move the most, even if you're not finished with school, right? Like how much can your GPA change if you ace the rest of your classes? That's good. It looks good. I'm glad, you know, people can do that, and they should if they can, but even then, the needle's not going to move that much. What's going to move the needle is your LSAT score. You can bust that up a lot.
Oh, people change their lives. We see people, I mean, just regularly. I get emails every week from people who improved their LSAT by 15 or 20 points.
Yep.
I mean, which is just a wildly, dramatically different applicant.
Yeah.
Okay.
So MZ continues, should I reach out to old professors and ask for letters of recommendation? I graduated May of 2020. Or should I just focus on securing the letters from professional contacts, such as my current boss and future Peace Corps superiors? Look, letters of recommendation, too, this is like so unimportant. Yes, you need to do these things, but they're just one check mark from a list of many things that you need to do to apply, but they are not the key to your success. I don't care whether you get them from from an old professor or from your work. Usually you have to get one from both. So just do that.
You can get multiple letters on file and then decide later which letters you want to include.
Yep.
But I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I was thinking about it in a slightly different context. Whatever you do, MZ, make a decision, pull the trigger, do it, and stop thinking about it because you need to be thinking about your LSAT. I was thinking about this specifically with regard to addendums, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I had a bad semester, or oh, I took 18 months off of school, or oh, I, whatever excuse, you know? And I think maybe it would be clearer if we gave people like clear, specific advice, like, yes, write a 2-sentence addendum about that. Yep. Write it today. Write it right now.
So it's off your plate.
Write You're 2 sentences. Yeah. Save it in a folder and stop fucking thinking about it because it's just the last thing that you need to be thinking about. But maybe that means it's the first thing that you need to do because you need to just like tick that box and get it out of your consciousness. Like MZ, it doesn't matter where you get these letters from. It's a drop in the bucket. It's like 1% or 1/10 of 1% of your applications. People are like, but I want to make my application as good as I can. Yeah, well, okay. Get one more LSAT point.
That is going to make such a difference, whereas these things aren't, they may not make a difference at all. I agree with what you're saying 100%. I think you need to get these things out of your mind. And if you can just do that, if you can just let go of them, do that, because now you're done. You're done instantly. If you have to do them to get them out of your mind, fine. Just make sure you're doing them to get them out of your mind and to get to the LSAT as quickly as possible, not to become some sort of an excuse to now do more stuff, to do more research, to email, follow up emails to professors who haven't gotten back to you. No, no, no. Just do what you need to do and end it.
Yeah. People with their personal statements and their addenda, I think they just take forever endlessly doing draft after draft after draft after draft after draft of your personal statement. We see people get into law school with terrible personal statements all the time. Like you know, if you do craft this like brilliant personal statement, okay, it makes you a 10% better applicant. If you improve your LSAT by like 1 point, it makes you a 12% better applicant. I mean, it's just like you like, cause that's, I'm trying to think of like real numbers though. Right.
Yeah, no, that's if absolutely
increase,
right.
If you increase your LSAT by 10 points, you are a 100% better applicant. I mean, you've gone from, with a 10-point improvement on the LSAT, you've gone from don't admit to full ride at some schools. Yeah. So you are a dramatically better, more than 100% better applicant with a 10-point increase. That's why I said 12% better applicant with a 1-point increase on your LSAT.
Yeah.
So let's think about the things that are going to really move the needle. And it's like the LSAT is the one thing you can actually do.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking about these percentages and things like that, the analogy is so overused. It's boring. But, you know, people talk about moving chairs around on the Titanic.
Yeah.
Well, don't do that. Instead, go up to the captain's lounge and say, hey, let's keep an eye out.
Iceberg. Immediately.
Iceberg. Yeah. Let's focus on things that could sink us. And your LSAT score could sink you, or it could be your, you know, life vest. It could save you and you could succeed wildly merely because your LSAT score went up 1 point or 2 points more than it would have otherwise. You're focusing on the wrong things.
100%. And, okay. And so, but isn't that interesting though? Like I don't know, maybe I think I'm interesting, but I like,
you're so interesting. Nathan.
Yeah. Thank you. No, I mean like as teachers, right?
Yeah.
That instead of being all smart assy about like, don't focus on that, instead focus on the LSAT, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe our best way to help people do that is like, yep, request those letters. Do it now. Do it right now. Do it today.
Do it today. Yep.
Request letters from everybody you're thinking about requesting letters from. Reach back out to them. Send an email to that professor. Make a phone call. Do it all in the next 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's talk about what you're going to do on the LSAT today.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you have to tick off some of these boxes first, that's fine. But let's do that. And then let's get back to the LSAT today and tomorrow and the day after that.
Yep.
Cool.
Okay. MZ continues, right now I'm studying for the LSAT and intend to take it in June. And of course, a couple more times over the course of the next year to get the highest possible score I can get. That's awesome. Please try to get the highest possible score you can get. For my June test, should I change the region since I won't be in the U.S., but instead in Colombia? I would assume so. I don't know. I feel like we've had a question about this a long time ago, but something about the they figure out where you are using your IP address or something. So I guess you might.
Yeah, have like I think you can't sign up in the U.S. and then take it abroad.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're working on that to make it so that you can just take the test anytime, wherever you are.
Yeah.
If you're not going to be here, then you've got to tell them where you're going to be, I think.
Okay. Should I bother asking LSAC that question as well as requesting an extension on my fee waiver since it expires in May of 2023?
So it's like, yes. do that. Why call not? Them. Like,
yeah. It takes 5 minutes. Yeah, you don't need to email us. In fact, yeah, your time would have been better spent just to pick up the phone and call them.
Right.
I'm hesitant to do all of that now since Omicron may affect my ability to depart the country and serve.
Did you say Omicron?
Yeah, what did I... Omicron, yeah.
Omicron, really?
Yeah. What do you say?
I mean, sound it out.
Oh, yeah, I put in the N. Wait, what is it then? Omicron. No, I'm putting in that N. Yeah.
I don't even know what it actually is. She wrote Omicron.
Yeah. How is it? What is it actually spelled?
I don't know. Is that correct? It's Omicron. Yeah. It doesn't have an I. There's not Omicron.
I want to say Omicron.
We can call it Omicron. I don't care. It's just COVID and everyone has it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that this new variant may affect my ability to depart the country and serve. I feel like you're like really thinking too hard about this.
Yeah.
Or should I just plan for September 2022, but hope for September 2023? Any amount of guidance will help. Look, just work to get your best LSAT score. And then once you get that, the path will be clear. And if things change along the way, then some of these questions will become moot. You just, it's like, oh, that's already been answered because it's not even a relevant question anymore.
Yeah.
You just have to get the best possible score you can get.
Taking a couple steps back, why the hell are you worrying about signing up for the June test? It's January. There's no need to be like worrying about any of this stuff right now. Like she's talking about getting an extension for her fee waiver because that expires in May of 2023. And she's what? What are you talking about? Work on the LSAT right now. And when your scores reflect your ability, like when you're happy with your scores and you think that those scores are going to get you a scholarship to the school you want to go to, then take the test. But like you worrying about all this stuff is just interfering with you like doing the actual LSAT work. So, I mean, she's planning way in advance, which is good. You know, I mean, looking at, she says
to some extent,
she's planning to apply in September of 2023. So she's got all kinds of time. I don't think she should be you don't even need to be looking at dates for the test or anything. Like you should be prepping.
You know, I think people are just wired differently. Sometimes people, it's like all they can think about is what's going to happen to tomorrow. You know, tomorrow. It's like, oh, or what am I going to do today? They wake up and it's like, okay, what should I do today? And then some people, you know, they plan out their week or their month or maybe the next quarter. And then you got other people who are like planning like the next 5 years and they're talking about all these things. The challenge with that, I mean, there's some advantages to that, obviously, but the challenge to that is so many plans that you end up making end up changing because, I mean, there's so many different possibilities. And it's just like, it's a drain, right? It's like you're carrying all these future possibilities in your mind as opposed to just like, okay, let me look out a reasonable amount of time and kind of shoot for something and even realize that that may change.
But we need a balance of both, don't we?
Yeah.
I think I'm in the latter camp I think I'm more like MZ. I think I do plan like kind of far ahead. Like I potentially save too much money. You know, like I'm like, in that way, I think I'm like sort of too conservative. I'd rather err on the
which
side
is
of being
probably
too
rare.
Conservative though, than be too crazy. Right. Like I do sometimes end up doing nothing today because I'm so focused on the future.
Yeah.
I sometimes envy people who just get up and go like, oh, what should I do today? And then they just go out and start doing cool shit.
Yeah.
That's great, you know? And meanwhile, I'm like thinking 3 days ahead, like, oh, well, but I have to be in a certain place so that I can teach my class, which means I have to do a rental car, which means I have, like, you know, I'm like planning all this stuff. And it's like, it's not that big of a deal, dude. Like, what are you going to do right now? What are you going to do today? It's going to be fine. But anyway, MZ, yeah, like it does seem like MZ is burning up a lot of time on issues that just really don't matter that much. Who knows if you're even going to still want to apply to law school 18 months from now, or September of 2023 is when she, I don't know why I've made her a she, but planning on trying to apply in 2023, it's like, yeah, okay, maybe. I mean, there's no need really to be like, I just don't understand why June 2022 LSAT. You know, you can prep now, you can do practice tests now, you can do that every day. You can, in 3 months or so, you could easily potentially be ready to take the actual test. Like, you might be able to take it in April of this year, or you might not be ready by June of this year. So why are we so worried about calling LSAC to tell them where you're going to be in June?
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't, it doesn't seem like any of that needs to be planned for right now.
Yep.
Cool.
Cool. Thanks for writing in, MZ, and good luck with all that. Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.